I want to start us off a little differently today for this sermon time. We're going to actually listen to a little bit of music, not much, about a minute. And it's a secular song. It's not necessarily a good message to the song. And so when it's an oldie. I used to hear it as a kid, and I was a Christian when I was a little kid. And I used to think, like, that's not right. Like, the point of that song is not right. But it's kind of catchy. Well, when I was in my 20s, I was riding in a van with my dad that only had a cassette player. And he had, if we flipped this cassette picture. So he had this, like, greatest hits of Ricky Nelson with him. So we wound up listening to that, and it had Garden Party on it. And if you're not up to date on your 1971 hits, that's okay, because we're going to play about a minute of it. I did edit it a little bit to get it shorter. We're going to play about a minute. There's going to be some lyrics, and we're going to talk through that. Like, actually, I came to appreciate there's some really good truths in there with a bad conclusion, and that's what we're going to talk about, but let's listen first. Okay, so you guys are up to date on Ricky Nelson, so this is good. So I grew up in the 90s in the back seat of, you know, my dad would be driving, and Oldies 95 would be on all the time. So I heard this song growing up, but I never had a conversation about it. And some reason, driving late at night with my dad, he started to explain the whole song, and, you know, I didn't really have any clue what the song was about. You know, so then I get to hear this cool story of Ricky Nelson, this pop star who, young pop star, had all these hits that were very poppy, and then switched kind of his genre and his look. And so when he went to New York to this concert with all these other kind of classic people, the song, like, has all these, like, who are these people? I didn't get any of that until my dad explained it. And then it has all these lines I didn't understand. So when it's talking about, like, honky tonk, I had no idea what that was about. But Dad introduced me to some Ricky Nelson, like, honky tonk songs. And they sound different, obviously, than his poppy stuff. And apparently he showed up in 1971 looking different than he had as this little teenage, like, pop star. And that bugged everybody there, right? And apparently once he started playing honky tonk, like, this other song that was newer, he got booed and just decided, like, oh, well, I'm done with you guys, you know, and, like, stopped playing. So it was a lot more interesting. And this is an aside that actually doesn't have much to do with the sermon, but that line about, like, I said hello to Mary Lou, she belongs to me. You know, so that's one of his famous hits. But at that point in my life, in my 20s, I actually had built some little, like, not impressive, but I'd built, like, some tables and chairs and done some carpentry. And it clicked that, like, there's a type of ownership that comes when you create something that, like, no one else can take that from you, like, even if whatever else happens, which that's not for today's sermon, but God created you and put his heart into creating you. There's an ownership that's not like crude or slavish, but that he has with you, like a dynamic that is worth exploring. But that's extra. That's not for our sermon today. So here's the thing that bothered me as a little kid listening to this song. I thought, well, that's a stupid line about like living to please yourself is obviously not like the Christian principle. You know, being selfish is probably not the right way to live your life. And if I went around with the mic, we could all have examples of how selfishness didn't work out for us. But what I saw is there is a deep truth in this song that if you try to please a whole bunch of people, it's never going to work, right? And everybody's going to want different things from you. And all those different desires, there's no way to please them all, right? Now, here's where the song breaks down on the conclusion, so please yourself, is just like Ricky Nelson's music changed over time, we don't just have like one desire in ourselves that we can just follow. Even if you just look at this last week, we probably at some point this week, if you're anything like me, you're like, I want to be healthy. And then at some other point, you're like, I want to eat junk food. And like, right. In one given week, we have like these competing desires that don't fit. So even if you're saying like, I just want to please myself, you can't even live in a consistent direction for a week, probably, you know? So it begs the question, like, who are we supposed to be pleasing so that we're not just running in circles getting nowhere? How many of you have lived years of your life and at the end of it you realize like I've been in a lot of circles, you know, like I've worn a hole in the carpet type of thing, right? So today we're going to be looking at just one verse. It's Jesus talking, and normally we don't preach on just one verse, but this verse has got enough truth, I think, for us today. Like, this is enough for us to try to put inside of us. So let's pay attention to it. We're going to be in John chapter 5. I've got a slide if you need to see the chapter and verse. Now, I put up Ricky Nelson's lyrics. I'm not going to put up the verse. Why is that? It's not that the verse is less important. I want to just get us used to just let's open up the Bible and let's look at it. And my hope is this week, if you're not reading anywhere else in the Bible, John's a great place to read. And so you already have found it. And if you don't have a very good memory and you've never read the book of John, just picture somebody you know named John holding a Bible. Picture it in your head right now. I know John Burton. I'm picturing him with a Bible in his hand. Now you'll remember. You'll remember where to read when you open up the Bible. Like, oh yeah, Jake said read John. So start there. But we're John chapter 5, verse 30. And here's what Jesus is going to tell us in verse 30. He says, by myself, I can do nothing. Let's pause there. Jesus is saying this. Jesus says, by myself, I can do nothing. Think about your last week and the problems you had. Most of our solutions to our problems were probably, I'm going to hurry up and try to get more done. I'm going to try to get more of me into the problem. I'm going to talk my way through it, or I'm going to work my way through it, or I'm going to run my way away from it, you know, but it was like, I'm going to solve it. That was probably a lot of our solutions. What would your day, even just today, look like if really in your heart you believed that Jake, all by himself, can't get anything done? Like, I need that in me. It echoes very much John, or I guess I guess John 15 actually echoes this, where Jesus talks about, like, without me, you can't do anything. So that's, John 15 is another great chapter, but let's focus here on verse 3. He says, by myself, I can do nothing. Jesus says, I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just. Now, the only as I hear part, you know, Jesus here is claiming, like, I'm going to be the judge of everything, of everyone. But he says he judges only as he hears. We're going to come back to that line. But then let's go on a little further. He says, my judgment is just, for I seek, here's where Ricky Nelson's lines come in a little bit, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. Jesus says, I seek not to please myself, but God the Father who sent me. So that's where the song breaks down. It actually is true up to that point of you can't please everybody because their desires for you are all over the place. But if you look at yourself, you realize your desires for you are all broken up too. Like you're not really unified. But Jesus is literally the example. He is like, what are we supposed to do as people? We're supposed to do it like Jesus does it. And how did Jesus live his life? He said, I'm seeking. I love that word. Like it's an active effort kind of word. Jesus is saying, I'm seeking to please God. Now, sometimes when we think about being a good person, we come up with a list of don'ts. You know, don't do drugs. Don't murder people. Don't lie. I mean, these are all like, those are good principles, right? Don't sleep with somebody you're not married to. Don't gossip. I mean, we could have a list of hundreds of things that would be wise to not do. But the problem, if all you have is a list of don'ts, it actually doesn't fit perfectly to what Jesus is saying here. Because Jesus is getting at this proactive positive. It's not just about not doing evil. It's about doing good, right? It's not just about not being noticed for messing up. It's about putting a smile on God's face sort of a thing. To seek to please God. That's the purpose. It's not to try to not ever make God mad. That's not why we live. It's our purpose of our life should be to please God. To say, what's going to put a smile on God's face? And that question, what's going to put a smile on God's face, that's been a freeing thing for me. When I get into situations, if I think about, not how do I not mess this up, but I think about how could I put a smile on God's face right in this moment. So to break it down a little bit, I'm a dad. I've got 2 5-year-olds at home. And there's moments where I'm just trying to get through the moment, you know. And in those moments, I might just be like, hey, do you guys want some, like, blank sheets of paper and crowns or whatever? And they might be bored by that or they might like it. There's other moments where I'm being a better dad and I'm thinking, what's going to, like, I know is going to put a smile on their face, right? So I've got a picture here of a little kid. This isn't my kid, but if we go to this little smiling picture, there you go. So one thing I tell you about my kids is if it's a hot day, and I think this is probably universally true, if you have kids at least of a certain age and it's hot, sprinkler equals smile. Like there's really, it doesn't matter who the kid is, like if there's a sprinkler going and it's hot, like the kids are all smiling like this little kid, right? Because there's this idea of there's certain things that like maybe the kids will like this, maybe they won't. But then there's other things of like I know they're going to like this, right? And the sprinkler means that you're going to mess up your grass, you're going to have a bunch of mud, and they're going to be a mess when it's done. But you also know like there's going to be big smiles, right? And it's worth it, right? Because the grass and the mud like are not going to leave as big of an impression, right? As like those smiles stick with you, right? Now, God's not exactly this little kid. And you might have to seek it a little harder to figure out what puts a smile on God's face, maybe. But when you're driving to work and you stop at a stoplight or you stop under 435 or whatever and there's somebody flying a sign, you might think like, well, you know, maybe I'll give them $5 out the window and say God bless you. That's more like the crowns. Like maybe that puts a smile on God's face. Like it's some effort. But I know Scott has told me about being at his work, having a lunch with him, and seeing some homeless guys out the back, and like sharing his lunch with these homeless guys and having a conversation with them. And that's how Scott eventually got into all the stuff he's doing of making friends with people in poverty and helping them. I think handing somebody $5 out the window is not a bad thing to do, right? But I think sharing your lunch with somebody and having a conversation with them, like how does that not make God smile? You know, if you're thinking about, like, if my goal today is I'm seeking to please God, it starts to free you up of, like, well, let's get some sprinklers in our life. Like, let's get some things that I know are going to win, you know? I know if I'm under a lot of pressure and really busy and distracted, but I see a hurting person and they want to talk, I know really being fully present and really being about them in that moment, like, I know that's going to put a smile on God's face, right? And my guess is, just like most of us can pull off a sprinkler, like you might not have a hot tub or whatever, but most of us like can pull off a sprinkler for kids. Like, I bet this week you're going to be able to pull off some, like, I know that put a smile on God's face. Like, even if you don't know a ton about Jesus, I bet you can get creative enough to say, like, God's going to like that. God's going to like when I do that. And what if your life is like Jesus' life, where you're like, I'm seeking to please God? At the end of the week, I want to have some sprinkler moments where I can look back and say, like, God was really happy with that. So I've got one other big point for you. I talked about that coming back to that Jesus judges only as he hears. And I want to talk to you a little bit about relationships. Because see, Jesus, all through all four Gospels, we get a whole lot about Jesus having this really amazing relationship with God the Father. That he goes off by himself and spends time alone. Jesus will say things like, I don't do anything, I don't say anything unless I've seen God do and say those things. Like, Jesus has such a deeper relationship with God than I have, right? There's so many things that I say or do that I can't be like, well, I know that I've overheard God saying that, so it's good to do, right? But Jesus had that, and that's the model for us to be pursuing, right? I want to have a relationship with God that's so close, it powers everything I do. It powers everything I say. And we're not there yet, but I want to give you a couple of tips on that. And I want to relate back to my dad, because he's on my mind with this Ricky Nelson stuff. My dad and I aren't perfect, and we don't have a perfect relationship, but we have a good relationship. And, you know, I mentioned earlier, listening to oldies in the back seat while he was driving, we just spent a lot of time together when I was little. And that was the foundation of us having a relationship, right? If you are not spending time every day with Jesus, that's where you start. And that thing I said about John, and you pictured that guy, you know, named John holding a Bible, like, start there. Read a little bit of John and have a little talk with Jesus about it. As you drink some coffee or as you go for a walk, whatever you do next, like, spend a little bit of time with him. Daily time checking in with God, that's how you get this thing started. Okay? Now, some of you in the room, you're not doing that, and now you already know what to do. You don't even necessarily have to listen to this next part. But if you're already saying, like, I wake up and I hit my knees right off the bat and I do my morning meditation or whatever, if you're already at that spot, I want to show you another picture here. So this is a picture that I took of me and my dad, or just my dad, actually. So my dad and I, when I was in my early to mid-20s, I had a gap between a job and the next thing I was doing. And I asked my dad, like, Dad, do you want to go on a trip? And we borrowed my grandparents' van, this old Aerostar with the cassette player, and we drove to South Dakota, and this is the Badlands. That's my dad standing right there. And we camped a bunch and went around South Dakota. Now, why do I tell you that? There's a lot of thoughts running through my head. One, though, is you drive all the way to South Dakota. There's a lot of time in the car. You cook all your meals together. You go on hikes together. You sit around the campfire together. I mean, I found out all sorts of stuff about my dad I didn't find out in the first 20-some years of my life, right? I heard about fights he got in as a young man, you know, all sorts of, like, drama stuff I didn't know about. Pretty vicious fights, actually. I was kind of surprised to hear about some of them, like, physical fights that he got into. I got to hear about a regret that my dad had about something he had done in the dynamic of marriage. It wasn't like this heinous, hideous thing, but something I had grown up seeing him do things one way, and I would have imitated what I'd seen, except for I remember we were talking around the fire, just the two of us, and he said, like, I regret making that decision and doing it that way. And it changed, literally, like, if we were one-on-one, I could give you the details of this, but, like, it changed the way that I treat Chrissy in one specific area. And, like, that came out of that talk, which came out of that trip and all that space, right? And this Ricky Nelson stuff, like, there's no way we would have sat around talking and listened to a whole cassette of Ricky Nelson. Like, that just wouldn't probably have happened, right? However, whatever you're going through this specific week, like, something that's real heavy on my heart right now is just that we don't know how much time we have with any particular relationship that we've got, right? And I have to sit in a room with families a lot of times and talk about, like, getting ready for a service, for a funeral, or celebration of life. And I will tell you, trips come up as these golden moments more than anything else. These times when people got together and said, it's just about us, let's go be together. Those things make big impacts, right? So I say all that stuff, not because you need to have that same thing with your dad, or maybe you don't have that same opportunity with your dad, but you have a Heavenly Father who wants big experiences with you. My dad is the type of person who never would have been like, Jake, you should take 10 days out of your life and go to South Dakota with me. You know, it just, he wouldn't want to force himself on me. I had to say, like, Dad, you want to take a trip? Well, let's go somewhere. I think God is waiting for you to say, God, let's go do something bigger together. And I don't know that you need to drive to South Dakota, but like, what if you went for a really long walk this week with no agenda but to say thank you to Jesus for something? Or you got out a notebook and you just said, I'm going to write some stuff that I know Jesus has done in my life. Or I'm going to listen to some music and try to talk to God about it. Like, what if you just tried to have a big moment of space with God? Like, would you have some stuff come out of that? One other thing, we'll conclude here with a little activity, but the best gift my parents gave me probably growing up, I can remember being also in a car with my dad and having him tell me, Jake, you're supposed to do what I say, but if God ever tells you something that's different than what I say, you need to do what God tells you to do. And the way he would talk to me about God, he built in like this expectation that God was going to talk to me. And it's this tremendous gift. Like, I think a lot of people don't have that in their heart. There's like a vague hope that maybe God will reach out. Like, my parents gave me this conviction that like God would talk to me. And I can tell you that like, I'm not special. I know enough about myself to know that. And I do know that God will talk to us. If we come to him with like, I want to hear from you, he's not going to prove himself. If you look at him for 15 minutes and have some big demand, I don't know if that'll work out. But if you come consistently with this expectation of like, I think you're going to show up and I'm expecting you to show up, he will show up. So here's how we're going to close today. I'm doing this thing called sit and stand. If you could put that slide up. And if you guys got a Bible, if you would turn to Psalm 62. Psalm's the big book right in the middle of your Bible. And I'm trying to work this thing out. I don't know if this is working for you guys or not. Today I'm shortening it a little bit to hopefully make it better. But if you guys would stand up, though, I'm going to sit and you guys are going to stand. It's kind of strange. But we're looking at Psalm 62. The reason I picked this psalm, I guess first, the reason we're doing this in general is until you start connecting with God, like nothing happens. Like, as much good stuff as somebody can say, it's not until you say, like, God, here's my heart. And I found the Psalms are the best thing to get started on saying, God, here's my heart. But I picked these verses today. And I got them written up there wrong. I'm sorry. I was supposed to be verse 5. Sorry, I'm looking at it again. Yeah, verse 5 through 8. I'm sorry, I wrote it up there wrong. But verse 5 through 8 is what we're going to be reading. So I told a good friend of mine, about losing Shane this week, another good friend of mine. And when I shared that with my friend, what he did was he read this whole psalm to me, and then he prayed with me. And it was this really comforting moment for me. And I don't know that you'll have the same experience, but what I know we can do is we can use this psalm, and then we can bring our heart to Jesus, because that's what this psalm is going to invite us to do. So let's read this, and let's put our heart into it. I'm going to read. You guys in your hearts, silently put that into Jesus. It says in verse 5, yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from God. Truly God is my rock and my salvation. God is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in God at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. That last line is what I want to invite us to do. I'm going to give us like a moment of silence, but I want you to silently pour out your heart to God, for he is our refuge. Let's be silent and do that. Jesus, we don't understand everything, but we thank you for the miracles you've done at Maywood that have given us time with people that you've made into amazing people. And I thank you that you're still giving new life. I thank you for Eric's 11 years of sobriety. I thank you for talking with my friend earlier today, and he was opening a door to you in a fresh way. Jesus, I thank you that you're still working, and we put our hope in you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.